When you think back in your mind, what would you say the three greatest rivers you've ever seen in your lifetime? Living as close as we do to the Mississippi, that's got to be one of them. Where we lived, it's wider than any other river in the world. What other ones? Chris and I walked to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and get down there, and the Colorado River that rips through there really does rip. It's incredibly impressive how fast it goes. I tried to wash my hands off in it. When I stuck my hands in, pulled them out, they were mud-coated to the depth that I put in. There was so much mud in the river. But we camped on a tributary that was right next to it, and it was Bright Angel Creek, and it probably was one of the uniquest rivers or creeks, streams that I've ever seen. We were hot and our feet were sore. We thought, well, we'll take our shoes off and soak them in the clear water of the creek and cool them off. But we couldn't keep our feet in the water. It was so blinking cold. It must have just been 1 or 2 degrees from being ice. It was freezing. But we camped next to that little stream, and it was crystal clear. There was a pond there, and we could see the rainbow trout swimming around down there 4 foot deep. Several of them sacrificed their lives for our dinner and breakfast. Anyway, how about you? What would you say is some of the greatest rivers you've ever seen? I wrote this message for November 27th of 2022. I entitled it The River of Life. And we're in the book of Revelations, and we're starting chapter 22, and we're going to cover verses 1 to 5. When I typed that in Monday, I was a little emotional that this is the last chapter in Revelations that we're starting. So my outline, the river of life, point number one is the river of the water of life. Point number two, the tree of life. Point number three, the throne of God and the Lamb. So we've got the water of life, the tree of life, and the throne of God and the Lamb. So here's my introduction. I've decided to start off with something that I believe is absolutely true, but it may be difficult to understand, accept, and believe when you think about it. As we have been looking into John's magnificent revelation, there is something we have not looked into yet. The truth is that all this magnificent wonder that John is seeing in his vision already exists. It already existed at the time that he saw it. And it already existed when Daniel saw it, when Ezekiel saw it. For example, the tree of life we see in the New Jerusalem pre-existed the tree of life of and knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. So before there was a Garden of Eden and a tree of life and knowledge of good and evil, this tree of life existed just as we see it now. And part of that is because it's always spiritual first and then physical second. God created the spiritual heaven and then the physical earth. So he created this New Jerusalem before he made the Garden of Eden and the tree. We were thinking about talking about trying to understand the concept of eternity. As we think about that, eternity never starts, and it never stops. It always is, and everything is there all at once. You don't have to go. It's there. Try to wrap your head around that, make sense of it. I chose the New NIV Reader's Version of Revelation chapter 22. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, It was clear crystal clear. It flowed from the throne of God and the Lamb. It flowed down the middle of the city's main street. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit. Its fruit was ripe every month. The leaves of the tree bring healing to the nations. There are no more curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city. God's servants will serve him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need a lamp of light, the light of the sun. The Lord God will give them light. They will rule forever and ever. So that's the end of the passage of Revelation. But for us, it's the new beginning. So this final description of the New Jerusalem contains many elements that will allude to the Garden of Eden. The intimacy with God and his people in Revelations 22:1-5, and the abundance of his blessing are stressed even more in the preceding passages. So this intimacy and this oneness has been clearly defined better some places earlier in Revelations. The point is, the final state restores the unbroken communion between God and man. Completely restores the unbroken communion and relationship between God and mankind. But the conclusion of history is so much more magnificent than the beginning. So when we think about creating the heaven and earth and the wonder, and we try to cipher out how creation would have happened, and we talk with people who believe about the Big Bang theory and evolution, the way what started all that we know is pale in comparison to what we see here in the New Jerusalem and the New. Stop for a minute and consider the truth that this is the end of all history. It's the end of all history. His story has come to its happy ending. That's how I remember how to spell history, is I put a space between there. It's his story, it's Christ's story, it's God's story. And that history ended. There is a garden also in the city, and the light has completely driven out the night. So in this new place, there is a city of New Jerusalem, but the river flows out of the city into a magnificent garden. So our outline, the River of Life, point number one, I titled it, the River of the Water of Life. The water of life was as clear as crystal. Clear water, like when you get it out of your filtered water in a clean, clear glass and the sun shining through it. The brightness of the river, clear as crystal, reflects the glory of God. So you have this crystal clear river, and you have this ever-present light of God. And the light of God on the river is a magnificent sight. Sunsets over the ocean are just spectacular. Maybe sunrises are even better. But you see the water sparkling and gristling in the light. This is even better than anything here like that. The tree of life is present, renewing the blessings of Eden in Genesis 2:9. Now, access to God's life-giving blessings that were barred after the fall are here renewed. We have come full circle. So when we humans started in the Garden of Eden, we went all the way, all the history, and when we get to the end of all history, we're back where we started. In a garden, in a city, with a relationship with God that is immensely intimate and eternal. A on your outline. The water of life flowed from the throne of God and the Lamb. And your two blanks are flowed and throne. If one were to stop and think about this, all life flows from this throne. That's where it all starts, is in this throne, everything we've ever known, ever seen, all history comes from here. The water of life is a symbol of eternal life. Jesus used the same image with the Samaritan woman in John 4:7-14. The water of life is a symbol of eternal life. So Jesus is meeting this Samaritan woman alone at Jacob's well, and they have this conversation about water and drinking and thirsty. And the bottom line is, Jesus said, I could give you living water that would give you eternal life, and you would never thirst again. So stop for just a minute and think about this with me. Jesus told Nicodemus that one must be born again. Jesus also explained to Nick the need of the Holy Spirit and water baptism. So believing, receiving the Holy Spirit, and water baptism. What I want to talk about is water baptism. Have you ever wondered why water baptism? Why would people be immersed in water after they believed? Connect the dots with me from the water baptism on earth to the river of life in eternity. Those two connect together. Our water baptism and this river of life connect. Water baptism is a physical illustration of the spiritual reality of one entering this eternal life. You are baptized into this river of life, this eternal spring of life. That's what it means when one is baptized. Jesus used the same image with this woman in Samaria in John 4:7-14. It draws a picture of the fullness of life which God and the eternal blessings that come when we believe in him and allow him to satisfy our spiritual thirst. The water of life flowed down the middle of the city street. So B on your outline is the water of life flowed down the middle of the city's street. And middle and main are your two blanks. The river of life is unlike any river on earth. It's uniquely different. The river of life is unlike any we know on earth because there is no hydrological cycle there. That's my big word for the day, hydrological. Hydrological. Hard to pronounce. Hydrological cycle. I'm going to move on. Our hydrological cycle is where water is evaporated by the sun, then it condenses into clouds and falls to the ground, and then returns to the sea by a river. That's how it works here. Water is evaporated, goes up, falls down, goes back to be evaporated again. In the new creation, from the new Jerusalem, there is a continuous flow of life that flows from the throne. Stop and think about this with me. That means that there are never any clouds in the sky in this new creation. It is always crystal clear light, no clouds. It never rains. It never rains here because there's no evaporation. There's no sea. We talked about the destruction of the sea earlier in Revelation. It's gone. The only water in the new creation is this river of life. This water of life symbolizes the continual flow of eternal life from God's throne to heaven's inhabitants. So on our outline, the river of life, we looked at the river of the water of life. Now, secondly, number two, the tree of life. We have seen this tree before in the Bible. Have you seen the tree of life before in the Bible? In Genesis 2:9, it says, "The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground. Their fruit was pleasing to look at, and it was good to eat. The tree that gives life forever was in the middle of the garden. The tree that gives life and the ability to tell the difference between good and evil was there." That's the end. So A on your outline, the tree of life stood on each side of the river. That's in the New Jerusalem. And your blank is each side. This tree of life is like the tree of life in the Garden of Eden we read in Genesis 2. After Adam and Eve sinned, they were forbidden to eat from the tree of life because they could not have eternal life as long as they were under sin's control. But because of the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, there will be no evil or sin in this city, in this new creation. We will be able to eat freely from the tree of life and drink freely from the river of life. When sin control over us is destroyed, our eternity with God is secure. B on your outline, the tree of life stood bearing 12 crops of fruit. So your blank is 12. The tree of life is a symbol of both eternal life and continual blessing. The tree bears fruit 12 times a year, one for each month, and is a symbol of the abundant variety in heaven. C on your outline, the tree of life's fruit was ripe every month, so your blank is ripe. The leaves of the tree bring healing to the nations. The leaves somehow enrich heavenly life, making it full and satisfying. Why? Why would the nations need to be healed if all evil is gone? What do you think? If all evil is gone, all sickness is gone, death is gone, why would we need these leaves to be healed? Well, the truth is, John is quoting from Ezekiel chapter 47 and beginning at verse 12. In Ezekiel's revelation, where water flowed from the temple, it produces trees bearing healing leaves. John is not implying that there will be illness in the new earth. He is emphasizing that the water of life produces health and strength wherever it goes. So, God fulfilled that prophecy in Ezekiel by putting the leaves into Revelations for us to think about. So back to our outline, the river of life, the water of life, the tree of life. Point three, the throne of God and the Lamb. I like the way the Lord lays this out, that always my last point talks about them. A on your outline, the river of life flowed down from the throne of God and the Lamb. So you have three blanks, flowed, God, Lamb. We will see his face. Think about that. Jesus taught us about living water flowing from him. And whoever drinks this water will never thirst, but will have everlasting life. Last week, I used the illustration of salt added to water and how it dissolves into the water and the two become one, essentially. This is almost unexplainable. This is almost impossible to illustrate. We will live in total unity. This is what we should look forward to when we get there. So this dissolving of all saints into this one, dissolving our lives into the water of life, the tree of life, the living life in heaven. I can't come up with illustrations or words to explain that. But I can encourage you to look forward to that because it's going to be a lot of fun. Be on your outline. There will no longer be any curse. So the answers for point B, no and curse are your blanks. No longer any curse means that nothing accursed will be in God's presence. Nothing that had God's curse on it will get here. This fulfills Zechariah's prophecy in Zechariah 14, beginning at verse 11. Our God is faithful to fulfill every one of his promises. Stop, think. Every promise God ever made to humanity will be fulfilled. And here in this image of the new heaven and the new earth, he is fulfilling the prophecy he gave to Zechariah. No more curse. The curse on us and earth as a result of Adam and Eve's disobedience in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, will be formally finished. Formally finished. That curse is now finished. God will never have to judge sin again, since it will never exist in the new heaven and the new earth. We here on earth think sin is a bother sometimes and a struggle. But for the sensitive, loving God that we know, the three of them are pained by sin, not just annoyed or disturbed by it. It hurts them. And now that hurt will be gone forever. Is there anything in this new world that exists in our world? So what can you think of in our world that exists there? Yes, there is one thing that I saw. See on your outline, God's servants will serve him. Servants and serve are your two blanks. We are to serve him now, right? We are to serve him then. That's the one thing. Our heart of humble, obedient service to the Lord God. That's here and now, and that's then and there. And because we have the eternal life, the eternal Holy Spirit within us, it is essentially the same service here and now as it will be there and then. There will be no more night. They will not need a lamp or a light, the light of the sun. They won't need the sun anymore. D on your outline, the Lord God will give them light. In this light, we will see his face. We will have his name, and it will be on our foreheads. For all human history, no unglorified human could see God's face and live. But the residents of heaven here can look on God's face without harm because they are now holy. So it will be pleasant, not fearful, for us to look on God's face. Think about this. We will have God's name. We will have God's personal possession. So we will have his name on us, and we are God's personal possession. It's written right on our forehead. We belong to God. E on your outline. They will rule forever and ever. So your blank is rule. In the beginning, this new beginning, we shall reign means that heaven's citizens are more than just servants. Are you preparing yourself for this? If that's true, that our service here and our service there connect, are you preparing your life of service? Here's my conclusion. The theme of the returning to Eden and the reversal of the curse brings us back to where God always wanted things to be. God now exercises his rule entirely by giving blessings. At the heart of this blessing is the communion with God himself, getting to see his face. Our knowledge of God can never exhaust the infiniteness of his blessing. But this final knowledge brings the climax of intimacy and enjoyment. At that point, we experience perfect holiness and freedom from sin. And so we can enjoy the vision of God that was not possible while we were contaminated with sin. This sounds really good to me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, humbly we bow before you and rejoice and thank you for giving us this incredible vision of the new heaven and the new earth, the tree of life, the river of life, all things flowing from the throne of the God and the Lamb. We are so blessed. We look forward to that wholeheartedly. Holy Spirit, would you please work with us, in us, through us, to prepare our lives of service now for the wonderful service we will get to do for the Lord up there. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Feel lost, he's a waymaker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel alone.